and welcome to the Trust Your Body Project. Trust Your Body Project is a podcast and social media movement designed to help you heal, eat, and create space for the things that truly matter. I'm your host, Whitney Catalano. I'm an anti-diet, health at every size registered dietitian, helping you stop dieting, make peace with your body, and take the power back from your inner bully. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode number 29. Today we are talking to Shireen Elmasri, who is a certified intuitive eating coach, and she's actually started and more so identifies with being a body positive personal trainer. She does live in Australia, so I'm sorry, I'm not American for all my American listeners, but for anyone who might be living in Australia or, you know, wanting to work with her online, you can definitely check her out. But today we are having a very specific conversation about pregnancy and fertility and body image during pregnancy, body image after pregnancy, you know, how to really take that break after you give birth and not put your body under too much stress and, you know, resist some of the temptations around all the messaging of, quote, getting your pre-baby body back or whatever. So we're talking all about that. But along the, like, while we were having this conversation, I clearly did not do my research and I didn't realize that it took Shireen, I think she says about 2 years to get pregnant after she went off birth control, because even though she had recovered, technically recovered from her eating disorder, she hadn't recovered enough for her hormones to recover. So she technically was still not getting her period, because while she was on birth control, she was getting a fake period and like a birth control induced period. And so when she went off birth control, she was still struggling with amenorrhea from her eating disorder and had to go through some very big life changes in order to restore her fertility, including intentionally gaining weight, which is something that we talk about in this, is really against most medical advice around infertility. Is pretty much any doctor, especially in America, will say, it's because you need to lose weight. And, you know, that was not the case because of her eating disorder. And so I just thought that this was a very interesting perspective, a very interesting and important story to be talking about. She's going to explain a little bit more about what she did. And, you know, you can hear the rest, the full story from her. But I just wanted to give you a little heads up on what's to come, because, you know, I was asking her sort of general questions about body image and things like that. And then about halfway through the interview, she was kind of like, did you know that it took, you know, 2 years for me to get pregnant? And here's the story. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly the conversation we need to be happening. So, that's what I meant. So really excited for y'all to hear that. Let me know what you think. As always, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and review on Apple Podcasts. I think reviews on Spotify also matter. I know people in the past have told me that you have a little bit of difficulty reviewing on Apple Podcasts. So if you do, go check me out on Spotify. Just keep listening, keep sharing with your friends. And yeah, let me know how you're liking this podcast. I'm happy to be back, as I said last week. And I hope you all are happy to have me back in your subscription. If you haven't subscribed, definitely subscribe so that you get updated whenever there's a new episode. What else? This podcast is brought to you by my one-on-one coaching. So if you are ready to start healing your relationship with food, really ready to start, you know, playing bigger in your life and taking up space and, you know, healing your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your brain, and your relationship with food and your body and people in your life, and just, you know, the way that you see yourself, the beliefs that you have about yourself, one-on-one coaching is here for you. I work on a six-month basis with people, and it is such a life-changing and healing 6 months. You absolutely deserve to invest in yourself and give yourself this gift, because the things that you will learn with me are things that you will apply to every area of your life. Just for the people who may be listening out there who are like, you know, I really want to start a business one day, or I want to start doing public speaking, or I want to, you know, maybe you have a business and you want to keep growing it, or you want to, whatever, like you feel this drive to be doing more and pursuing bigger dreams, bigger things, whether it's in your career or independently through a business. That is something I'm really trying to get more into that. I've worked with a few people now who decided to start working with me because they felt like their relationship with their body and relationship with food was really holding them back from accomplishing the things that they wanted to accomplish. And together, not only were we able to do all of this sort of body image and food healing work, but we also did a lot of business mindset work and how to work past your blocks that are getting in your way and how to really be authentic and aligned with the way that you approach your career, approach whatever goals you're trying to pursue so that you don't have to be overworking and stressed and run down all the time, but actually you can kind of create the life that you want. So it's not like business coaching by any means. This is still food and body image healing, but this is just a special shout out to those of you who really do have big dreams and who are driven. I know most of you who, if not all of you who listen to me, you identify with that because those of us who have a disordered eating past, hey, we tend to be overachievers, especially at things like healthy eating and, you know, all of this stuff. Like, that's why we end up here in the first place. We hold ourselves to really high standards, high expectations. We tend to be overworkers, tend to be perfectionists, and these things are going to continue to get in your way in other areas of your life. So one of the things that I really try to focus on doing is within my scope of what I know, help you with those things, help you with not only how your mindset is affecting your relationship with food and your body, but also how your mindset's affecting anything else really in your life. So if that resonates with you at all, if you have big dreams, maybe you even want to be a health at every size practitioner, you're a therapist right now, you're a dietitian, something, and you really need help with this stuff, one-on-one coaching is for you. This container, this six-month container, is anything you want it to be. And I am here to just walk with you and support you and be sort of a sounding board who guides you throughout all of this. So WhitneyCatalano.com/book, you can apply for a clarity call. It's WhitneyCatalano.com/book. And without further ado, I think that was all my little announcements. Let's get into the interview. So today we are talking to Shireen Almasri, who is a body positive and health at every size personal trainer, certified intuitive eating counselor, and owner of BU Be Free, a body positive health and well-being community for women. So Shireen, you are located in Sydney. Thank you so much for coming on this call, and also congratulations on your new baby.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you. It was so funny. I just as a little backstory, I had rescheduled this interview originally, and it worked out because it turns out you're going into labor, right?
Yeah. I had to be induced a couple of weeks early. So it's worked out well now.
Yeah, but I was so amazed with that. I was like, wow, you're really out here just working till the last day.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm 3 weeks postpartum as well and straight back into work.
I guess let's first tell me a little bit about how you started doing what you're doing.
So for me, it all started with my own eating disorder sort of journey and recovery. It's about 9 years ago, I was asked to be a bridesmaid for one of my friends back in the UK. And I'd always struggled with body image and dieting and been on loads of different diets at this point. So I was feeling really uncomfortable about the bridesmaid dress fitting. I was sort of standing in the changing room and I was being measured for this dress and I was just feeling really uncomfortable and awkward. And the lady was like taking my measurements and she kind of looked up at me and disappeared. And then she came back and she's like, look, we have to get a dress specially made for you. We can't give you one that's in stock. And I just felt a lot of shame and a lot of judgment at that moment. And I decided there and then to go on another diet, thinking this would be the one that would finally work, you know, in air quotes. And it actually led me to a full-blown eating disorder. And I got treatment here in Australia. I'm actually originally from the UK and I live in Sydney now. And I was nearly hospitalized. My counselor sort of turned around and said to me, you know, I'm going to section you onto the Mental Health Act. And I was like, oh, you can't do that. You know, I'm from the UK. You know, I was 27 years old at the time. And she's like, no, yeah, I can. I'm going to section you if you don't start eating and gaining weight. And that was a massive turning point for me. I just threw myself into recovery. I learned everything that I could about health and well-being and started putting things in place. I mean, it was a really long road and I fell down many times, but I just kept going, kept fighting, and I made a full recovery. And when I recovered, all I wanted to do was help others who might be going through the same thing. And that's when I set up BUB Free. I decided to go back to university and do a postgrad diploma in health and wellness and train as a personal trainer. And that's how it all started. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a story, because it really, I think that's how a lot of people get into this, is having their own sort of dark moments with disordered eating. And then when you go through your own recovery, just not wanting to see people do that themselves, because it's so dark.
Yeah, absolutely. I just felt like I went through it for a reason. I thought, you know, if I can help someone else, and, you know, there must be a reason I went through this.
I relate to that. There's a few different things that I wanted to talk to you about today. I think for starters, because you just had a baby and it's just kind of on my mind, it's something that I haven't quite talked about with anyone on my podcast yet. I was hoping that you might be able to give my listeners, audience, a little bit of insight around how you help support people and women who are pregnant or postpartum in their body image journeys, because I know that can be really challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think pregnancy can be even more challenging with the body image stuff during pregnancy and postpartum. But I think the thing that really helps my clients, and the thing that helped me, was just really being grateful for what your body can do in pregnancy. I mean, you're growing a human, which is such an amazing thing if you think about it. I mean, if you think about, like, scientists, for example, been trying for years and years to grow organs, whereas women, we just do it with, you know, without even thinking about it. We're just growing this whole human being.
That's true.
Which is just an amazing thing. And it really is amazing to watch, and to have that gratitude for your body during that time, I think, is probably one of the most important parts of the body image. And also, just again, rejecting the diet culture around, because there's so many kind of mixed messages out there, exactly the same as what there is now around pregnancy and, you know, how much weight should be gained and what you should be eating. And you've just got to ignore all of that and just focus on you and your body and what feels right for you.
Yeah.
And having a lot of respect and kindness and just treating yourself with compassion, I think, is really important during the pregnancy journey. And also letting go of the comparison is a really big one. You know, other people's pregnancy bumps, and, you know, you can almost have those, like, designer pregnancy bumps again, just unfollowing all those people and just focusing on you and not comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah.
Is huge. The other thing as well that I did that I found really helpful was I refused to be weighed throughout my pregnancy. So I don't, you know, and I was, it was fine. I was, people were very respectful of that. All the healthcare professionals were respectful, and they didn't force it upon me. I just literally just said, look, I would not like to be weighed during this pregnancy because I have an eating disorder history. And they were like, okay, that's fine. And so I think if you can do that,
it's really helpful. I really wonder if that would go over well in America, because I mean, there are plenty. I've been reading a ton of articles recently about, you know, people being denied healthcare and support around pregnancy or around fertility over a certain BMI. And it is the most heartbreaking thing to read, because, you know, we understand the effects of weight stigma on the body and how bad it is for health. And for doctors to be outright denying women care and, like, fertility treatment and all of that because of BMI, I think is just medical negligence, honestly. Yeah. And I just wonder, like, if that would be the same here, if someone could openly just be like, I don't want to be weighed.
Yeah, I think it'd be the same in the UK as well. I think with the NHS over there, they have the same kind of regulations. And it also could be because I do have thin privilege as well. So it might be different if I was in a larger body. They might have said, no, we have to right. You have to be weighed. So that could be a part of it as well. But I mean, in terms of, I guess you can always ask not to see the weight, but in terms of treatment and being refused treatment and fertility treatment, I mean, it's just outrageous, really, that people are treated that way. And that's like a whole other issue in itself.
Yeah. And, you know, on the same topic, just doctors recommending weight loss and recommending dieting to people who are pregnant. It's just like, how is that okay?
That's completely harmful. I mean, weight gain is completely, you know, necessary for pregnancy and for postpartum as well, for your milk supply. So that's, it's just outrageous. Like you say that there, it can even recommend dieting during pregnancy. You know, you're growing a human being, your body needs energy, it needs fuel. It's crazy that they would be doing that.
And I think anyone listening to this, that would be like the number one thing. You know, your body needs so much energy to not only grow a human being, but have milk supply to feed this child and to recover. Like the healing process after giving birth takes time. This isn't something that happens overnight. And so, you know, to continue eating, like that's not, it's a non-negotiable, like you just got to eat.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. There's a lot of pressure when you are postpartum to, you know, lose the baby weight and, you know, air quotes again, but the same thing, if you start restricting food or engaging in too much exercise, you're going to just ruin your milk supply and your body needs to heal. It's just birthed a human being. Like it's a huge, huge thing to That's go through huge. And you need, it's huge. And you need a good 6 weeks, you know, break from exercise as well. I think a lot of women rush straight back into exercise, but it's really important to let your body heal and rest and recover from labor.
What do you recommend for people who are, you know, have just given birth and are maybe anxious to go back to exercising or whatever it is? What, you said 6 weeks, but tell me a little bit more about that.
So, I mean, it really does depend on, you know, if you've had a cesarean or what your labor experience was. For me, I had to have a cut during labor. Mm. So I definitely have a little bit of extra time to heal. But I mean, it's still such a big process on your body.
Yeah.
But if you've had a difficult labor or a C-section, it may even be a longer recovery process. But if not, if you had a fairly easy, normal vaginal birth, then you could return to exercise earlier as long as you get, you know, doctor's clearance on that. But I think the most important thing really is just, again, listening to your body. We are the experts of our own body and just tuning into to how you feel and just not rushing back into it or feeling that pressure. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, obviously, as you know, I'm a personal trainer and I love exercise and it's a huge part of my life and my well-being. But I know also how important it is to recover at the moment. But what helps for me is just to get out for some nice walks. So you can still go out for a nice walk and get outside and do that. Just some real gentle movement until your body's fully ready.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And just getting out in the sunlight, I'm sure, is always going to feel good no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Now it takes me to about 2 o'clock to get out the house, though, with the baby.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's a whole day affair.
Yeah. But it is nice to, I mean, I'm so lucky I live on the beach here, so I can just head down and have a nice walk.
So is this your first child?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure you've thought about raising a child who is, you know, comfortable in their body and body positive, if you will, like, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
secure with food and all these things. So do you have any tips or what are your thoughts around that?
Well, the thing that I've really noticed that, as you know, with intuitive eating, we're all born as intuitive eaters. So it's really interesting to watch my little boy, his name's Bryn. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to watch him when he's full and he just shuts his lips, he's had enough, doesn't want any more, you know, and he just has that wisdom already there, which is what we were all born with. So that's something I'm going to obviously keep encouraging and just giving them a variety of foods when he is old enough to have solids. Mm-hmm. Just having a lot of variety of foods on the table for him just to pick and choose, not forcing the, you know, finish the plate mentality, letting them be guided by their own wisdom, but providing obviously a variety of foods so he gets all those nutrients as well. But, you know, letting him trust his own body.
Yeah. And really, I'm sure guiding that conversation around food being joyful and food being pleasurable and nutritious and just all of these things. Like there's so many components, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So important.
And I think it will be challenging because, I mean, you can do all the work at home, but when they go to school and with social media and around friends, I mean, diet culture is going to come up, and it'd be navigating that and having those conversations with him as well, and what that means and how he can handle it. And I mean, that's going to be a huge part. And of course, this is my first child, so I've got a lot to learn.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to you know, try it out and see how I go and learn so I can then help other people as well.
Yeah. Do you ever find, this is something that I come across all the time when I do clarity calls with potential clients, people who, you know, have been on the diet binge roller coaster for decades, you know, and have gotten to a point where, yeah, it's bad. It takes up a lot of space, but you know what? They're just kind of like, they can deal with their own stuff, but then they start to see the effect it has on a child at home. And that's really the motivator to get help, is like, I don't want to project my food stuff onto my kids. So like, and I literally heard that this morning on a call. I was like, I don't want to project that onto them. I don't want them to adopt these same
behaviors.
Yeah. Behaviors, yeah. Thoughts, beliefs about, yeah, food. So I'm wondering if you encounter that much.
Yeah, I do. I had a client that was weighing food in front of their child, and their child picked up on it. And that was a huge sort of turning point for them. And they're like, the child asked why they're weighing their food. And they were like, okay, I need to do something about this. I don't want them to have the same, they'll go through the same thing that I'm going through or been through. So yeah, that definitely comes up. And I think children are a massive motivator as well for people for recovery. And in terms of if you've already got kids, and also if you want kids in the future, I think I'm not sure if you're aware, but it took me about 2 years to get pregnant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I had a condition called hyperphthalmic amenorrhea, which I lost my period due to overexercise and undereating. I didn't realize that I even had this until I decided I wanted a child when I was about 32. And I'd already been recovered for a couple of years. So I thought that I was, you know, that I was better, but my body clearly hadn't agreed. And I came off birth control, and after about 6 months, I still didn't get my period. And I was like, okay, this isn't normal. And I came across a book called No Period Now What by Nicola Rinaldi. I don't know if you've heard about it. And that's when I discovered I had hyperphthalmic amenorrhea, or HA, it's known for short. And I had to give up all high intensity cardio exercise and gain weight to get pregnant. So that was a huge part of my own recovery journey, even further to where I am now, which I think really helped me navigate the body image stuff during pregnancy as well. And also really made me grateful to be pregnant because of the journey that I went on.
Yeah.
But I think people don't realize, because when you're on birth control, it gives you a fake period. Right. And I didn't know that I had this condition until I stopped. So I think it's really important, if there are people out there who are on birth control and they're wanting kids, to know that if you have engaged in disordered eating, there is a chance that you aren't actually getting your period. And I mean, it took me 2 years. So I just, would highly encourage you to, you know, start recovery or seek help, and definitely come off birth control if it's something that you're considering, just to see if your body is working, if your reproductive system is working.
Wow. And how was that for you to, you know, loving exercise so much and being a personal trainer, to have to stop high intensity exercise? What was that like?
It was really challenging, really challenging. But I think having the goal of having a baby just kept me really motivated. And there were a couple of times that I just wanted to throw in the towel and just, you know, go for a run or do a spin class or something. But I was just like, no, I'm just going to keep going. And then when I got pregnant, it was so worth it, or the whole journey. And, you know, like I was saying to you, I really do think it helped me recover fully from everything. It just took me that one step further as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting too, because, you know, I brought up at the beginning the fertility thing and people over a certain BMI not getting treatment for infertility. And your process demanded that you gain weight and gain start exercising as intensely as you were. And I just don't, I don't see a situation where like your traditional doctor would support that, that approach. And yet it's necessary, like you had to do it. That was exactly what you had to do with your body. So I think that's so important, like so unbelievably important for people to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, you know, it's, you have the misconception that you're healthier, again in air quotes, where I wasn't healthy. My body couldn't reproduce.
Yeah, you had to, because I mean, you know, any way you cut it, high intensity interval training, high intensity training in general, high intensity cardio, whatever it is stress on the body. Working out is stress on the body. It just is. And especially if you have a history of disordered eating and under eating, you know, that's even more stress on the body. So really to have to go full pause and say no more, got to gain weight, got to really focus on that and let the body know that it's safe and that it's not under stress. Like that's going to be the thing that's going to create an environment that can support growing a freaking human being.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's important is being, you know, well nourished and again, not under that stress, because your body needs to trust you. It needs to feel safe to grow. It's not going to want to grow a human if it thinks it's under stress all the time. It's the last thing it wants to do. It needs to feel safe.
Exactly. I think people underestimate the impact of stress on, well, two things. I think people underestimate the impact of stress on health. I think we all kind of gloss over it because, you know, a lot, especially in America, I know Australia is a little more laid back, but especially in America, like we have such a high stress culture. Like everyone is just, if you're not burning out, you're not doing enough. And we're all so obsessed with health. And yet like no one is really talking about stress the way we need to be talking about it. And then two, you know, I think people underestimate as well the impact of not eating enough on stress. Like that's a big thing. It really does. It makes the body feel like you are in a famine and you're not going to have access to food.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Everyone's chasing health. Again, in air quotes, we're really there unhealthy. Hmm. That's the ironic thing. You're doing all this over-exercise and under-eating and it's, you know, in the name of health when it actually is having the complete opposite effect, mm-hmm. which is something that I didn't realize for a really long time. You know, I would over-exercise and, you know, restrict food thinking I was doing the right thing. Thought that's what I was supposed to do to be healthy. But yeah, it led me to an eating disorder and I became the most sickest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. That is the irony in it. And fortunately, there's so many of us online advocating, but still waiting for the sort of the mainstream media to really catch up to this because it's slow, but it's working. I see it.
Yeah.
I see it creeping in. I'm like, okay, we're going in the right direction. We're pushing the needle, which is really important.
Yeah. And it's definitely getting a little bit more mainstream, a bit more press around intuitive eating and health at every size now than it was before. So that's exciting that there's definitely movement happening there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's really fascinating for me to, you know, pay attention to what's going on in Australia around this conversation, because there is a lot of conversations happening over there. A lot of intuitive eating counselors, health at every size professionals. Yeah. And I know that we kind of have this sort of between the UK, you know, professionals, the Australian professionals, and then the US and Canadian professionals, we're all kind of like keeping tabs on each other and really trying to like bring that conversation global. And it's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, love absolutely. It. Mm-hmm. That's great. I definitely do find though in the personal training fitness field, there isn't that many of us, the health at every size, body positive personal trainers. So I'm really passionate about spreading that message as well. And because I think there's a lot of amazing, I see RDs and intuitive eating counselors now, but I think personal trainers, there could be a lot more growth in that area around health, every size and body positivity.
Yeah. I think people are still learning how to talk about it, of fitness.
Yeah.
that's the vibe that I get, is that, you know, food, we've pretty much figured out how to talk about it, but we need more sort of pioneers in the fitness space who are just kind of solely focused on the fitness part of it, and bringing that conversation, that nuanced conversation to that side, because all of the Fitspo stuff online is all weight loss and shredding and toning, yeah, and just toxic. Like, it's just, ugh, yeah.
And I get a lot of backlash for what I'm doing, you know, from the those Fitspo people, mm-hmm, with, which is interesting to navigate. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good at navigating it now, but it's an interesting field to be in, but it makes me even more passionate to keep fighting and helping and spreading the message, to be honest, when I come across the backlash.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think it's a little fun. I'm like, oh
yeah.
Did I strike a nerve?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to you kind of getting pregnant a little bit before we wrap up. What else did you do to reduce your stress and really prioritize that part in your journey?
Getting enough sleep was a huge one. Because I mean, back in my sort of ED days, I would sacrifice a lot of sleep to exercise. But then I would also focus, I mean, the thing that really helped me with my own recovery from my eating disorder was focusing on other areas of well-being, such as like self-care, work-life balance, my relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, they're things that all play a huge role that I think get neglected as well, not really talked about. I mean, food and exercise obviously have a role in recovery, of course, but it's more than just food and exercise. It's, you know, finding your identity outside of that as well. And for me, especially, a lot to do with my eating disorder was loneliness as well, and connection. When I moved over to Australia, that was partly why it was triggered. So from working on, you know, spending time with my friends and family, really prioritizing that, having fun, getting that good work-life balance, you know, incorporating joyful movement, just like lots of nice walks and things that you enjoy. And yeah, working on self-care, and not in terms of just like massages and getting your nails done, which is lovely, but, you know, just basic self-care is setting boundaries with people, you know, learning to say no and just doing things that are right for you, and, you know, not worrying about other people, which I know is easier said than done, but the more you practice that, the better.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's very interesting because I do think that self-care is being talked about more in that regard. You know, we're all kind of like, it's not just bubble baths and whatever. Like, that's kind of the tagline that we're all talking about. But, you know, I think people don't realize that setting boundaries and saying no, like, that is one of the highest forms of self-care, and just eating enough, you know, getting sleep.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I know that's always been really impactful for my clients when I frame eating enough as self-care. Like, that is literally the thing that is going to open the door to the rest of the self-care. Cause if you're not eating enough, like, your body is not going to work properly.
Absolutely.
And everything else is going to go, you know,
downhill. Yeah. Yeah. Your body needs nourishment. It's so important.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your programs. Cause I noticed you have two online programs, one for fitness and one for nutrition. So tell me a little bit about those.
So my program's called Nourish Me, mm-hmm, and it's a 12-week intuitive eating and wellbeing program, it focuses on 12 areas of well-being which help my own recovery and also everything I've kind of learned and also the recovery of my clients. Mm-hmm. So it looks at sort of self-care, breathing, mindfulness, connection, work-life balance, the things that I sort of talked about just a minute ago. And then it has the intuitive eating principles kind of woven throughout the 12 steps. But it's really about, it's healing your relationship to food and exercise and to yourself, but it's also really sort of finding your identity outside of food and exercise and working out what your passions are and what you want to do with your life post-recovery, and also getting your relationships back on track and having fun again with your friends. I mean, they're the main goals of the program. And then there's the exercise part. There's a whole fun with exercise, or fun with movement, actually, I like to call it, because exercise can get a little bit of a negative connotations, which is really looks at ways about how to move your body for fun, moving your body from a place of self-care, as well as moving your body intuitively, you know, really tuning into how your body feels in the moment when you are exercising, and coming up with fun ideas as well of what you like to do. Like, I have a little activity in there that's called the Circle of Fun activity, where you write down all the things that you enjoy, like movement wise, and the things that you used to enjoy when you were a child as well, which could be like rollerblading and trampolining. And then I get my clients to circle all the things they think they would still like to do now, or they would like to try, and then to choose one thing each week to go and do. And that's really fun. I mean, I've done a lot with my clients. We went ice skating, and we went rollerblading and trampolining, things that we haven't done since childhood. Yeah. It's just fun, but it's a lot harder than I remember. Right.
Yeah.
Especially rollerblading and ice skating. Like, it was fun, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to do this again.
I'm a firmly feet planted on the ground kind of person, but I respect that you did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. We didn't last too long, about 20 minutes. And then we went to the pub and got some wine.
Perfect. Yeah.
But I mean, that I'm really passionate about having fun with exercise. I think, you know, it's one of the key things that really helps me and also my clients. I mean, we have like hula hoops in our classes. We do a lot of, we have dance offs where we just spend the last 5 minutes of the session where we choose a song and we just dance for 5 minutes, which is just, it's the best way to end in a session. And it's just so many endorphins, and it's really fun, and it's really great for connection as well with the other girls. And we play a lot of games in the sessions too.
That's
and I just,
awesome.
Yeah, I just try and think of as many fun ways. And I share a lot of these in my program too, as a lot of my own song-based workouts that you can do at home that people can just do themselves. So you get all of that in the program.
That's nice. That's like so inspiring for me. I feel like I need a little more fun in my programs.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I love the hula hoops. It's amazing. They're very popular.
Hula hooping as a kid. You're inspiring me right now. I'm like, get back to hula hooping.
Yeah, I recommend trying it. It takes a little while to get the hang of it, but once you've done it once, you're like, right, that's it. I can just keep going now. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I couldn't hula hoop when I was pregnant though. It just didn't work.
Yeah. I don't think the physics are there for you.
I it just wasn't happening. So I'm looking for, I haven't actually tried since the baby, but I will be getting the hula hoop out.
Although soon. I suppose you could have done like around your ankle, you know, around your arms and stuff, and you like passed it through and like over your head, that stuff.
A good idea. Yeah. No, I definitely remember that one for next time.
You're bringing me back. Oh my God, I want to do fun little kid stuff now. Yeah. Oh, this is so good. I used to love tetherball. Did you ever, do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Okay. It's this like thing. This is such a whatever, but it's this pole and there's a string attached to it. And it's like a volleyball at the end of the string, and you're playing with another person. You like hit it back and forth. And I was so good. I literally used to like whoop people's butts on the playground. Like I owned at tetherball. I was so good at it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can get anyone to go play tetherball with me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I'm so inspired right now. Thank you for this.
That's right. You're welcome.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about, or do you think we covered it all?
I think we covered it all. The only other thing I was going to mention was sort of navigating intuitive eating during pregnancy as well. I think that's something that clients definitely struggle with. And I think the same principles definitely apply. And the most important one is trusting your body. Because if you don't, you just got to surrender to the hunger, because you are really, really hungry and you're growing human, and really honoring your hunger is so important. And giving yourself unconditional permission to eat all the foods that sound good to you. I mean, I only ate beans on toast and chocolate for the first 3 months of my pregnancy. I couldn't stomach vegetables. I couldn't even look at a vegetable.
Whoa.
It's really interesting. Your body really tells you what it needs and what it wants.
Yeah.
Just really trusting that and surrendering to that is really key. And just again, and ignoring all those dieting messages, like you say, that there's like so many things like the doctors will tell you and health professionals and online about how much you should be eating or how much weight you should be gaining, and just ignoring all of that and just trusting your body as we do with intuitive eating.
Absolutely. And, you know, that just reminds me, I just think it's so weird how culturally it's always, and I've never really thought about it like this before, but it's always been sort of this thing, right? Of, oh, what did you crave during your pregnancy? Like, that's kind of a cultural conversation of like, yeah. Oh, I really craved this one bizarre thing for, you know, 6 months and I never wanted that otherwise. And then all of a sudden, and it's like cravings in pregnancy are somehow like the only time we're allowed to honor our cravings. And then as soon as you have the baby, it's like, okay, well, when are you getting back on your diet? Like, when are you going back to restricting? Like, isn't that bizarre how that's the one time that culturally we are allowed to have cravings, but you're always allowed to have cravings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're normal. That's like everyone has cravings. It's just a thing. Your body tells you what it wants. Like that's.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know? I mean, definitely. I think for me it's really helped me with my own intuitive eating journey, because your body really does tell you what it wants, what it needs. And even now with breastfeeding, you're very hungry. I think that's another thing I don't think people realize. I think you're even hungrier breastfeeding than you are in pregnancy, because your body's producing so much milk and it takes a lot of work. And I don't think people realize that. And that's why it's so important as well to gain weight in pregnancy for the milk production. And again, to carry on honoring your hunger and trusting your body in postpartum as well as during pregnancy.
Yeah. And not reading any of those articles about celebrities getting their baby bodies back.
Nah, that's it. And and unfollowing any of those, like not comparing your bumps and unfollowing any of those people, like I was saying, with that kind of designer baby bump, just following real women, real pregnant women.
Yeah, exactly. This is all such good advice. I can't wait for people to hear this episode. I know I've had definitely requests about, you know, more pregnancy information, body image stuff. And, you know, I think that this is a much needed topic of conversation, that we got to keep having this conversation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had a lot of people reach out to me about it since I got pregnant and asking me all these questions. And it's something I hadn't really thought about before, but it's really important, especially the body image stuff. But I think if you're going through your own recovery at the moment and you definitely want children in the future, doing all this work now is just going to help you so much when you are pregnant, because you're already going to have those tools and be equipped and be prepared for the body image challenges and for the food stuff.
Absolutely. And finding out early on if you've got to do something like completely stop exercise, you know, you got to know absolutely. That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's just not any awareness about that. I mean, I had no idea that birth control was giving me fake periods and that I wasn't actually getting a period. And this was going on for years. Yeah. I think I know there's a whole community now of women who are trying to get pregnant, who come from disordered eating and eating disorders, that also had no idea until they came off birth control.
Yeah.
So I think it's such an important issue that just needs a little bit more awareness as well.
Yeah. Would you recommend that book for,
100%.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a safe read.
Safe read. Yeah. So cool. No period now. What? And, there's a whole community, Facebook community as awesome. Well, a free one that there's just all women going through the same thing. Mm. And it's really helpful, especially on the times where it is challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking about this. I will link to all of everything in the show notes.
Thank you.
So if people are interested in learning more and, you know, playing in some of your programs, then they can go check you out.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me as well.
If you are loving the Trust Your Body Project podcast and are ready to dive headfirst into your healing transformation, head on over to whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom to learn more about working with me. whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom.